Where does truth come from? The Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. And what is he going to do? He's going to pull you towards the truth. He's going to guide you. He's going to say, go this way. He's going to say, read this. He's going to say, listen to this, receive this. He's going to show us specifically how to receive truth. Then it's up to you whether you decide that you're going to become acquainted with or you're going to know truth as a part of your life. Welcome to Changing Lives, where we are changing lives with the Word of God. You've just tuned in to our podcast where you're going to receive the Word of God that's going to set you free. Amen. In every area of our lives. Amen. I love the Word of God, and that's what we're going to get into. We've been sharing about living life in challenging times, and I think that all can agree that we are truly living in challenging times. The days are getting evil and more evil, and it's just a lot of darkness in the world. But even in the midst of that, we have a great glimmer of hope because God is in us, our hope of glory. And so I'm going to be sharing some more spiritual truths with you from the Word of God as it relates to using what God has given us to be able to maneuver through these challenging times. And one of the biggest ways is understanding that we are in the army of God. And because we are in the army of God, guess what? We have weapons. We are girded up with some powerful weapons. And I just want to take the time to be able to go through that and allow his word to enrich us, to empower us, to encourage us, to realign us to the truth about his word so that we can be able to step into and continue to flow in that victorious life that he's given us. We've been talking about the armor of God, and that's what we've been given from out of Ephesians chapter 6. It talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And as we put on the whole armor of God, we can't just look at it as, you know, just something that's actually physical that we do, even though in the word it uses the armor, a physical armor that a soldier uses as a metaphor. But it's a very powerful and strong metaphor that we can use to be able to connect the spiritual truths and the revelation behind everything that God has given us as far as our armor. And so it's no secret that it's important to us, but we're going to talk about the belt of truth, okay? And so what I want you to do is get out of your mind being so focused on the physical part of the belt, even though we're going to use it as an analogy, right? This is a spiritual thing. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, right? And if we've given our lives to the Lord, we become believers. And God uses his word to train us to interact with him in spirit, right? And so we got to also recognize that because we are on God's side, we're in his army, we are his soldiers, that we are fighting against an enemy whom we know to be Satan, the devil, you know, as a fallen angel, Lucifer. And so we know that God has given us everything we need to defeat the enemy, right? And so in that, as I break down the belt of truth, I want you to, as we should always do, look introspectively to see where we stand with truth. How are we operating in truth? What truth do we believe? Okay. And what lies, which is the opposite of truth, do we believe? And how we should govern our lives by truth. Amen. And so when we look at the physical analogy or metaphor of the armor, it talks about the belt of truth. And just a quick, you know, summary of the belt that is used for a actual soldier back in the biblical days, the Roman days where they had the Roman soldiers. So they had like a belt, and that belt was a way of keeping, you know, tools and different things together. It was used to gird them up with whatever they needed to hold on a number of different pieces, the sword, you know, it could have been other little gadgets and things that they use, but they called it the belt, okay, that was girded about their loins. And so as we get into the word, it's so powerful to see how that analogy comes to life, right? And so let's look at our base scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Okay, so just like in the natural with the Roman soldiers' equipment, he had a belt that was girded about his loins. And I immediately think about this scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures that helps me to keep things in order as far as my mind. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, the 13th verse, it says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That part eight, gird up the loins of your mind. And when I think of loins, you think of, you know, the deep parts, the depth parts, your girth of your body, right? And as far as in a natural sense, but as far as in a spiritual sense, it's talking about your mind being that part of you that has such weight as it relates to the anatomy of your body and your spirit being, right? And it says in the word to gird up the loins. The loins mean those deep thoughts, those deep things that are planted on the inside of your psyche, right? Your mental capacity, your emotions, your intellect, your imagination. Those are deep parts of us that nobody sees, but all of those things serve as components that will feed into governing our lives based on what's on the inside of us and what's coming out of those emotions and thoughts and feelings and imaginations and you know, reasonings and all of that. And so the word of God says that we are to gird it up. That means when you gird it up, another analogy that I remember and I always use when I go to this verse is when the Roman soldiers had to run into battle, okay? They had that girdle, and it was such a way, it's kind of like a skirt almost, but they had parts of it that they had to pull up and strap around them to be able to be to move in and to do whatever they need to do to get to where they needed to go without being entangled with it. Okay. And so it's the same thing. The word of God tells us we got to gird up some things. There's some loose thoughts, okay? Thoughts that have not been held captive, right? That we can think that's really not very productive, that can be quite negative, and can even be quite evil, you know, that doesn't serve as a way of helping us to be a better person, okay? And so the word admonishes us, you got to gird those things up, right? But it's all connected to the belt of truth, all right? And that's really what it's referencing, that when we have things that go on in our minds, that, you know, where our mind goes, it governs where our body goes, right? When you go to walk, your mind is sending signals to your body. This is what you're going to do, and this is where you're going to go, and this is where you're going to stop. All the time, our minds are sending signals through our brain, and our brain sends it to our bodies of what we're going to do or what we're not going to do. And so it's the same way in the spirit realm, that the part of our being, which is our mind, is what houses what we believe. It houses our values, the ideas, the thoughts, the different things that go on. And so as I break this down, I want you to recognize the importance of first, you know, thing as far as that was listed as a part of the armor was truth, the belt of truth. Now, in my natural mind, I would have thought, well, why didn't they just start out with the helmet of salvation, start from the top and go all the way down to the bottom? I believe that the belt of truth was the first thing that was emphasized because it was so important, because it deals with really your mind and what is housed in your mind. And so when there's truth, which is truth comes from God, When there's truth that's in your mind, that's saturating your being, it's going to govern the way that you should go. Okay. So as we break down scripture as it relates to truth, you put, tie it all together and you'll see the importance of you got to have truth if you're going to live in these challenging times and be victorious. Right. And God, I'm just telling you, God has already set it up for us to be victorious, but we got to walk it out. We got to do it according to God's plan, right? And so we can't just go do our own thing, live any kind of way, allow lies and deceit and deception to be a part of our lives and expect to be victorious, right? So truth leads the way, okay? And so in the Amplified, it says, stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins. Now, I have a belt on right now, and I know I had to tighten that belt because you got different loops, right? And different loops will determine how tight your belt is. And why is it that you need the belt tight? So that it will hold up your pants and give you the support that you need, and so your pants won't slip off of you, right? And so the same thing, there are certain things that you want to hold dear and tight to you. And certainly truth, you want it to be so tight around the deep parts of your being that it's going to keep you together, right? In the Passion Version, it says, put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand and triumph. So how do you, just in a brief summary, how do you live in this day and time and deal with challenging times? How do you stand? How do you come out on top? This is what it says. Put on the belt of truth, right? All right, so praise God. Psalms 51:6 says this, behold, thou desire truth in the inward parts. And this is God, and this is God's perspective that David is explaining to us, right? So he says in Psalms 51:6, behold, thou desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. So David is talking about that the parts of us that nobody knows. Nobody knows what you're thinking, right? You know, we can act out what we're thinking and then people will understand, you know. But for the most part, until you act out what you're thinking, people really don't know exactly what you're thinking, all right? And so those are those inward parts that God, you know, desires to make sure that it's saturated with truth, okay? So these are things that we need to grab a hold of as it relates to truth. You got to know what is truth, right? Because truth, you know, is knowledge, right? And so if you have the knowledge of truth, then you know, okay, then this is how I am to govern my life. If you don't know what's true and you don't know what's a lie, then you're kind of confused. You're kind of between two opinions. You're not sure what to do, right? You're kind of like stuck, right? And so most of the time, you're gonna stand for truth unless you have evil intentions and things like that. You want to know what the truth is. And the Word of God tells us in John, the 8th chapter, the 32nd verse, that you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. So that lets me know when you know the truth, right? If you're bound by anything, if something has a grip on you, if there's a stronghold in your life, if there's something you can't get over, if there's something that you can't get victory in, that's a stronghold. But the Word of God lets me know that when we know truth, right, it's going to set you free. You're going to be free from that stronghold. You're going to be free to move about, and your life is going to be governed by liberty, right? You're not going to have anything holding you back and keeping you from being all that God has called you to be, right? So we got to know truth, right? And I'll break that down in just a little bit. So, but before we get to knowing truth, we got to understand where truth comes from, right? Because if you want to know something, you got to find out where is the source. Where's the source, right? And so in John, the 14th chapter, I love this. Ooh, I love this. The 14th chapter, starting at the 16th verse, this is Jesus. Jesus is actually telling us about truth, okay? And he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. So he's saying also, it's the Spirit of truth that he's making reference to, right? And then he goes on to say, whom the world cannot receive, right? The world, representation of those who are who are not living for God, who don't have godliness governing their lives. And so it says, whom the world cannot receive. But who can receive it? We are the ones that are able to receive it because we are surrendered to God. We've given our lives to God. And he says, I'm leaving another comforter who is the Spirit of truth. He's saying specifically for us, okay? And so then it goes on to say, okay, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. Know who? Talking about God. Knowing God. And when you know God, and the more you get to know God, the more you know about the Spirit of truth. Okay? And so it goes on to say, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Okay? And so this is letting us know right off the bat, Jesus is intending for us to have victory. So much so, before he ascends into heaven. Now, this is after he went through all that dealing with the cross. This is after the finished work of the cross, his assignment and fulfilling that. And then he was seen amongst men for 40 days interacting with the believers, right? And so during that time, he was able to minister to a group of believers, and he was letting them know, I'm getting ready to ascend into heaven. I'm getting ready to go back to be with my Father. My work is done. But I'm not going to leave you in this earth without help. I'm not going to leave you in this earth without knowing the truth, right? And then he goes on to say that the world doesn't know him, which means you can try all you can to try to get the world, those who are worldly, to operate and flow in truth and spiritual truths. It's not in their nature to be able to do that, right? Why? Because they do not know the Spirit of truth. When the Spirit of truth, who is the Holy Ghost, just letting you know that, right? It's the Holy Ghost when he's on the inside of you, then he is able to inform you of the truth, and he's able to put it on the inside of you in such a way where it becomes a part of your nature and your ways. When you think about the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, all of that is entities that are released and cultivated and given to us by the Spirit of truth, who is the Holy Spirit. Oh, I love it. So it goes on to say, you are going to know him, right? He's going to dwell in you, but that's all predicated on whether you allow him to fill you up, okay? But he's with you. So he's given the Holy Spirit to be with us, but a step further, greater steps than that, he wants the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Okay, good stuff, right? Okay, so we skip to John the 16th verse. And at the John the 16th chapter at the 13th verse. I'm so excited. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. How do you know truth? Where does truth come from? The Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. And what is he going to do? He's going to pull you towards the truth. He's going to guide you. He's going to say, go this way. He's going to say, read this. He's going to say, listen to this, receive this. He's going to show us specifically how to receive truth. And when you are presented truth, it's really up to you whether you receive it or not. He can't make you receive it, but he can lead you to it. And then when you get to that place where you're led to it, then it's up to you whether you decide that you're going to become acquainted with or you're going to know truth as a part of your life. Oh, I love it. 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, the 9th verse through the 10th verse says this, but as it is written, I have not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Do you love him? I know I do. He's got some things prepared for us that we have not even seen. How are we going to tap into those things that we have yet to see? Guess what? Holy Spirit, right? And so the 10th verse says this, but God has revealed them to us by the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So it is the Holy Spirit's job to go to the Father. And then if you go back to the 16th verse, 16th chapter, the 13th verse of John, it says, he will not speak of his own authority, But whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. So it's the Holy Spirit who's going to reveal to us truth, truth about God, truth about who we are, truth about whatever's around us. If you need to know, Holy Spirit, is this right or is this wrong? Is this standing on truth or is this saturated with truth or is this not? Holy Spirit is going to show you and guide you if you yield to him to do that. That's his job. So the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you to all truth. He does not lie. The Holy Spirit cannot lie. Why? Because he is a part of God, our Father, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's a part of the Godhead. And in God, there is no lie. There is only truth. Okay? He's the Spirit of truth, right? And so he is with us to open up our eyes, to understand, to discern. That's another word. To discern between what's right and what's wrong and what's a lie and what's not. Holy Spirit, it pays to have him on our side. It pays to yield to him if you really want to know truth. And not only that, let's take it a step further. Operate and flow in truth, because you can know truth, right? But truth, the truth that you know from your head doesn't set you free until you know it in your heart as your own, okay? That knowing means to be acquainted with it. That means to be friends with it, okay? So when you know truth, that means I am intimate with truth, then that means now I know it enough to be able to flow in it, amen? Okay, so we want to be set free by truth, and we want to know truth through the Holy Spirit. Okay, so oftentimes it helps us to understand what's the opposite in order to understand what the real deal is, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about what's the opposite of truth, because that is the enemy's tactics that he uses to try to defeat us. So we got to understand the enemy, right? Because we're all talking about in context that we are soldiers. We're soldiers in God's army, and God has equipped us with an armor, right? And in that armor, we're talking about the belt of truth. And so just like I talked about how it was, I believe, intentionally listed first as one of the most important parts of the armor, it is very important because of this fact too, that is the very place where the enemy will try to defeat us. That's one of his main tactics. Okay, you want to know how the enemy works? Then you got to recognize the tactics of the enemy. And his main one is that he operates in the opposite of truth. Okay, and so in heaven, there are no liars. All right, there are no lies. So only truth. And in that truth, there's freedom, there's joy, there's peace, there's revelation, there's clarity, right? There's goodness. And I can go on and on about all the things that freedom brings to us, right? But in the realm that Satan resides, okay, hell and also this world, right? And so his nature is his language. His environment is saturated with lies, okay? So lies are is the language that he speaks, right? It is not in him to be able to tell the truth. Truth comes only from God, right? And so his nature is he is a liar. He speaks lies. His environment, everything he lives around are lies, okay? So he's not able to tell the truth. And so you can look at it this, wherever he is the absence of truth. Wherever the enemy is working is the absence of truth. And also this, it's not just truth, because what the enemy does is he tries to paint things in such a way where it looks like truth. So he may exaggerate certain things to have a little bit of truth in it, but it has to be the whole truth. So even if there's a little bit of lies, that contaminates the whole thing, right? So he will exaggerate things. He'll puff it up to make it look like, because it's so big, that means it has got to be truth. Not so. He'll tell you partial truth. That means he'll give you some truth, but he won't give you the whole truth, right? So you're operating in some truths, but if you knew the whole truth, then you would see how it really, really looks, right? And what it really, really is, right? So he will intentionally lie, right? And so you know, when you see somebody or you're around somebody or you have encounters with somebody who compulsively lies, right? That's blatant. You can tell that. But how about those white lies? Those lies where it's like, well, it's not a big deal. It's not harming anybody. Oh, yes, it is. Because the white lies sets the stage for continual white lies. And when you begin to pile those white lies up, what is it? It tips the scale and it really becomes big lies, right? It becomes a big lie, right? And it's just, and the thing is, anything that is the opposite of truth, whether it's a white lie, whether it doesn't seem like it does any harm to anybody, whether it's just, you know, something that's a partial truth, you know, so you're not telling a lie, but you're not telling the whole truth, right? You're leaving out information. Then that is a deceptive tactic of the enemy, which is strategically set up to pull you in his direction so he can capture you and win you over on his side, okay? And so anything that is the opposite of truth, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us be in tune to recognize that so that we won't give way, that we won't be laxed and just let it slip by, that we won't be vigilant and shutting down lies, okay? So bottom line is this: lying originated from Satan. That is his language. He can't do anything else but lie. So that lets me know, are you letting Satan be in your ears? Because if you're letting him speak things in your ear, then you ought to know he's telling you lies, right? And the John the 8th chapter, the 42nd verse through the 47, this is the same scripture that talks about you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Listen to it in the Message version. It says, 44th verse, he couldn't stand the truth because there wasn't a shred of truth in him. When the liar speaks, he makes it up out of his lying nature and fills the world with lies. And this is Jesus talking about Satan, right? Okay, this is Jesus. If you look in King James Version, it emphasizes the red, and that's Jesus speaking. And then the 45th verse, he says, I arrived on the scene, tell you the plain truth, and you refuse to have a thing to do with me. 46 says, can any one of you convict me of a single misleading word, a single sinful act? But if I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? And then it goes on to say, anyone on God's side listens to God's word. This is why you're not listening, because you're not on God's side. And really, when you look at it, it's black or white. If you're telling lies, lie is a lie, and you really are, you know, on the enemy side, okay? Whether you have a heart for that or not, and sometimes we can be deceived to be double agents, right? And so we just got to recognize that a lie is a lie, and we have to do everything that we can in our lives to embrace the truth, right? In the National New American Standard, version from John the 8th chapter, the 44th verse, it says, he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. So get this, if you lean on the side where you're always telling lies, and the way that lies work, once you tell one lie, then you're going to have to tell another one to cover up for that one, and it just grows and grows, right? And so what the scripture is saying, he's the father of lies. So that means if you are always telling lies, oh my goodness, who's your father? Is it Father God, or is it Satan himself who is the father of lies? Got to watch that, right? So it indicates that Satan is the major influence dealing with ideals, opinions, goals, hopes, and views of the majority of people who are in the world. Okay, this is what he's infiltrating in the world. And that's why the word of God tells us, you know, that we can be in the world, but we shouldn't be of the world. We should have a clear indication that we are totally different. Even though we live here, we're not acting like, you know, the world. We're not pathological liars. We don't tell lies to cover up things and to, you know, to save face. No, we don't tell white lies because a little white lie, we know, is still a lie, right? And so the enemy, Satan himself, influences, you know, the world's philosophies, education, commerce. I mean, these are all things that he's trying to infiltrate. Politics, the government, all kinds of things, right? If people are in the world, they're going to be prone to tell lies, right? So thoughts and ideas and speculation, false religions, all of those things are really the enemy's open playing field, right? And he will use them to work against us and to lure us into believing things that are really founded on lies, okay? So so the enemy, that is what he relentlessly does to fight against us. And so we thank God, though, we have an answer to that, right? And so by us embracing the truth, right? So we got to learn about the truth as it relates to God's nature. It's all in his word. So it's not good enough for you to come to church. And you say, well, I go to church, you know, so I know God. Not really. You know God for those moments that are in church, but you really get to know God when you are intimate with him by reading his word, by meditating on his word, by allowing that to become a part of us. I think about, you know, when you go to, you know, I'm a psalmist, so I sing. And so if there's a new song that I am not acquainted with, and I really want to get to know that song so I can be able to minister that song in a strong, confident, and powerful and anointed way, then I'm going to meditate on that song, first of all, so I can know, you know, what's the message that I want to portray or give in this song. And then I'm going to keep learning or listening to that song so it becomes a part of me in such a way that I can be able to express that song in its true meaning, right? It does no good to sing a song and then you're not singing that song in such a way that it glorifies God, right? You're just singing out in empty space. So you really have done that song injustice, you know? And so, but the same type of mentality that we should have when there's something you don't know, you got to spend time with it. You got to, you know, get into the word of God to know God. And it can't be a one-shot deal. It can't be every now and then, maybe Sunday, maybe Wednesday, maybe your midweek service or just whatever. But no, it's got to be a daily part of our lives where we are learning about God and his nature so that we can know the truth about who God is. You know, we can live our life in such a way that we've been told lies as we grew up in our lives, you know, from the enemy. And we can even ascribe lies that we've received through our natural relationships with our fathers and ascribe those characteristics or lies to God. You know, and isn't that how the devil, Satan, works, where he will take that lie and he wants you to ascribe it to your relationship with God. So if your father was not someone that you could depend on, your natural father was not someone that you can depend on, then you're not going to see God as someone who's dependable. If your natural father was not there for you, then you're not going to believe that God is never going to leave you nor forsake you. If your natural father didn't provide for you in such a way that he gave you security and he looked out for you and he helped to nurture you, then you're not going to see God as that. If your natural father father didn't display love in a way that was healthy, then you're going to look at God and not really receive the true love that he has for you. And that is simply the tactic of the enemy. So you got to learn the truth about God and his nature. And so, and the only way to do that is that you got to get into his word, read about God, come to know about his nature, and allow your minds and every erroneous or a lie that the enemy has ever infiltrated your life with to be dispelled out of your life and to be replaced with the truth about God. And that really is true deliverance when that occurs. Okay. And then the same concept, the same thing, you got to learn the truth about who you are in Christ, because it is Christ Jesus who served as the mediator between us and God, who was our bridge to the truth to God. And so if the enemy has been telling you all your life, you're not this, you're not that, you are this and you're not that, and it does not line up with the truth about God's word, then he has accomplished what he has planned to do: infiltrate your life with lies, hoping and expecting you to grab the hook, line, and sinker. And then what happens? You live a defeated life. You live a depressed life. You live an empty life, feeling unvalued, feeling worthless, feeling like you have no purpose, right? And we know, if you know anything about the word of God, that's nothing but lies that have governed your life. So what do? The same thing. You got to get into the word of God. Find out about who you are. Find out that you are chosen. Find out that you are royalty. Find out that you are priesthood. And then you know what? It doesn't even matter what you've done. Because if you've done bad in your life, if you've allowed evil to lead you and guide you, there is redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he comes in when you yield to him, and he cleans you up and sets you on a path where you can live for him. So it's not even about all the wrong you've done. It doesn't matter how much wrong you've done. What truly matters is if you've given your life to God and you recognize, I need God to help me on this path of life to be able to live for him. And you know what? When you give your sin, when you give your wrongdoings, the things that you've done wrong, the evil, your evil intentions, your evil thoughts, when you give it to God, what does he do? He takes it and he punishes it, and he'll serve you up the truth about your life. And so if we can stay on that path consistently, not just listen to a message every now and then, but if we can do the legwork ourselves, if we can walk this thing out ourselves, then God will position us in such a way that we'll receive truth every single time we go to the word about ourselves. We'll begin to see how God strategically planned our lives in his word. Talking about truth, right? And so we got to learn about the truth that's about God's nature and the truth about ourselves and Christ. But also you have to practice it. It's not good enough to learn something. Why would you go to a college and you learn for 4 years or however many years it takes you? Some of us go through a continued education and higher education, and you have even more than that. But it makes no sense to go someplace or to sign into a trade school or training and you do nothing with it. You got a lot of knowledge, you got a lot of information, but you haven't done anything with it. And so it behooves us to take the truth that we know and to practice it, right? When you practice something, it becomes a part of you. If there's any kind of sport that you're learning and you're trying to learn how to master it, what do you have to do? You have to practice it until it becomes such a part of you that you're not even thinking about the basics. That the basics becomes a part of you, which are the foundation. So the foundation of God's word, the foundation of who we are, the foundation of what we've been given becomes such a part of us that you can't convince us otherwise, right? And so that's what God wants us to do as it relates to truth. And John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, right? He wants spirit and he wants truth, right? So he can give you truth through his word, but what does he want back? He wants truth back. He wants you to be vulnerable towards him. He wants you to be real. And guess what? He's a God that knows all anyway, but he's training us to be like him, right? He's already created us to be able to flow in that, but now we got to walk this thing out, right? And so he not only wants us to do it in the spirit, but he wants truth to be rendered back to him. And so I just encourage you, you know, as we look at this particular part of the armor, the breastplate, the belt of truth, recognize how important it is because it sets the stage for everything else. If you don't recognize how important the belt of truth is for your life to be led by truth, then you'll never really be able to flow in the breastplate of righteousness or even use the sword of the spirit in a proper way, right? Because you're not going to believe the power that the sword of the spirit has, right? You're not going to understand and receive the truth about, you know, the helmet of salvation and how it helps us and protects our minds and everything that's in us if you don't even receive truth from God, right? And so position yourself that from this day forward, that you yield to the Holy Spirit to embrace truth in every area of your life. And I can go on and on, but I want to stop right there because I think it's important. There's a lot that's been released as it relates to that. And so I want you to search the scripture. The word of God will set you up to receive truth. So you got to love the word of God enough to be able to get into the word of God. It's not about reading a whole lot. Maybe you will read a chapter or a couple chapters a day, you know, but if you just take whatever truth you can get from the word, even if it's one scripture, even if it's a part A, you know, of the scripture, train yourself to love the word of God because the word of God reveals truth. And also to love yielding to the Holy Spirit because he is the one that will bring truth to light as you read the word of God. And so my prayer is that during this time that you receive this, go back, listen to the message, get it in you. Be a person, you know, I ministered a message about being a truth bearer and a lie exposer, right? And that's what we're doing. We're exposing lies of the enemy. We're exposing when we come to know about the nature of God, when we understand who we are in Christ, our image, our nature, we are exposing the lies of the enemy. The more we know about the word, the more we become yielded to the Holy Spirit, the more we are exposing the lies and we are embracing the truth. And so I know this has been a blessing to you, and I pray that you'll be able to share this because we want to be truth bearers and lie exposers, right? All for the kingdom of God, so we all can be strengthened and be able to recognize the armor that we have and how we're able to use that armor to flow through life in challenging times and come out on top. God bless you.